Today, I am talking to Katherine Eastfold. She does a lot that she'll tell us more about, but she is also one of the administrators on a new popular Facebook page called Springfield Families Helping Families. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
First, for our listeners, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I know you do a lot because I did my research, but I want you to let our listeners know some more about yourself.
Sure. So I have lived in Springfield for a total of about 12 years now. I have four kids. I work for the Office of the Attorney General. I am in law school part-time at Loyola University Chicago, so which means, of course, that I am currently attending the law school of Zoom. But it's going great. I'm about halfway through that. And I went on this remarkable adventure with Springfield Families Helping Families, beginning on the same day, March 13th, that we all went on an adventure of sorts with the pandemic and schools closing. And it's been a great way to get to know the community.
Now, before asking you anything else about the group, I just want to know, how do you manage to do so much in the community and go to law school and have a family? Like, it just seems like a lot.
It is. It's a lot. I mean, for everybody who has a family, goes to school, works, it's a lot to juggle. And when my kids were really little, I lived in Charleston, South Carolina, and I can remember going to county council meetings, city council meetings with them. And it's actually a little town called Somerville near Charleston. And I think indicative of how involved we'd all gotten it as a family was the fact that when we moved out to come back to Springfield, the last stop that we made with the U-Haul was by City Hall to pick up a baby blanket that I'd left in the chambers the last time we'd been to a meeting. And the kids have all these memories of, you know, crawling around under the chairs. And so it's just something we've always done together as a family. We've always participated in advocacy and volunteer efforts and politics and civic engagement, wherever we can. And the great thing is that the kids really appreciate it and understand it and enjoy it also. So it's just something that's important that I'm not from Springfield originally. And so it was really important to me to make this my hometown and get to know the people and the organizations working here to make this a better place. I want to put in a plug for the school district. All of my kids go to public schools, District 186. And we love the schools here, and it's been great to get involved with the district. So that's just kind of who we are as a family.
Like you said, it sounds like a real family effort to just get so involved in the community. And I'm wondering, how has COVID-19 affected what you've been able to do?
So it's made it different, of course, but the great thing was that through Families Helping Families, I discovered that not only myself, but so many people can do so much and stay safe also. The heart of what people usually do for each other on Families Helping Families is the porch pickup and the porch drop off. So if somebody needs food, needs toilet paper, needs diapers, you just leave it on the porch. If somebody can offer something to somebody that they need, let's say they've got a baby swing or a stroller, they don't have transportation, they can leave it on the porch and somebody can volunteer to go get it off that porch and put it on somebody else's porch. People through the group do a lot of picking up food boxes from food pantries and food giveaways. And it's been really wonderful to see how most of the organizations that run those have really respected safety and do things like wear masks and have you stay in your car and have you open your trunk and just pop the food box into the trunk. And so it's actually become an opportunity, I think, for people to learn about all the different ways to help in the community that they might not have known about before. And many of them have been able to be translated into a way that is safe during COVID-19.
So I remember when I got the invite to the group over the summer and I was kind of like, oh, what's this? So why do you think that this group was so important, and why was it created?
So it was created on March 13th, on the day that it was announced that the schools were going to shut down. And it was the idea of Scott McFarland, who's the school board president and a member of the school board at the time, not president yet. And He had the simple but brilliant thought that, oh, there are going to be all these parents and families who are going to wonder how they can feed their kids, because families really rely on those school breakfasts and school lunches as two free meals a day on weekdays that their kids get that they don't have to pay for. And so Scott thought, you know, hey, there are probably a bunch of families panicking right now, panicking about childcare, maybe other things. And there are probably a lot of people who want to help with that. And what if we just start a Facebook group and put them together? And so it was really that simple idea that it was around. And that's why it was called Families Helping Families and not People Helping People or something like that, because it was really, the idea was these families who were affected by the school closure. And the next day he added me as an admin, and I had the same reaction as you. I was like, what in the world is this? What did you do, Scott? But it was great for that week. It really did center on food and childcare, two things. But then the next week, of course, we had the Fuller shutdown, where restaurants and bars were shut down, where non-essential workers were told to go home. And all of a sudden, there were all these other needs beyond just school meals. And so people started losing their jobs, people started losing their hours. The stimulus checks, of course, hadn't been issued yet, and many people wouldn't get them for many more months. And so all these people were joining the group and experiencing food insecurity, experiencing rent worries about how they were going to make their rent payments, et cetera. And they were looking for material items. They were also looking for information. They were looking for support and just to know that they weren't alone. There were people who maybe had never been to a food pantry in their entire life, who now their cupboards were bare. They didn't have any food and they didn't have any money coming in. And they were like, all right, explain to me, how does this work? How do I go to a food pantry? So, and of course, school meal delivery, the district, to its credit, did start up that Monday distributing school meals for pickup. But of course, many children rode the bus to school, didn't have their own transportation to school. And so it wasn't possible for their families to pick up meals. And so people started getting on the group and saying, hey, I can't even get the school meals. And other people would get on and say, I could deliver school meals. Can I do that? And so one of our group members named Megan Philpott started organizing volunteers to deliver those school meals. And that turned into an effort that actually Megan and I are now coordinating with the district this semester in a more formal way to try to get those meals to the families that can't get to the pickup spots. So it just ballooned into this thing that now we have, I think, about 14,800 members. And it just turned into a lot of things besides just food and essentials. It's definitely still that, because there are a lot of families still really hurting. But also things like, at the beginning, you know, Goodwill was closed. A lot of the organizations that you would take donations to were closed and not taking donations. And so people would clean out their houses, spring cleaning, and, you know, hey, I've got some furniture, I've got some, you know, tools, hardware, whatever it might be, who needs it? And so it kind of, we kind of developed this free cycle aspect of, you know, one person's trash is another person's treasure as well, all contactless pickup for the most part. And so it's really taken off.
And now I'm kind of wondering, you mentioned something about, you know, taking one idea and bringing it to like the school board to making it to like an actual, you know, concept. Right. So now I'm kind of wondering, what is your daily involvement with the group?
Yeah, so my involvement with the group itself is I'm an administrator, so I let posts through. I make sure the posts follow our rules. We don't have a whole lot of rules, but we have a few. I just kind of monitor the discussion, and, you know, if somebody reports something, I check on it. But personally, I think I've kind of committed to trying to keep up with the information that people are looking for as much as possible. And that's anything from learning about the various nonprofits and social service agencies that do operate in our community, so that if somebody needs help that is really beyond what people can give them on an informal individual basis through the group, that I can refer them somewhere to where people can volunteer or donate things if it's something that they can't really donate through the group, to information about government assistance programs and other forms of help, you know, just keeping up with, is there going to be pandemic EBT for families with school children this month, or extra SNAP? You know, people want to know, is there another stimulus check coming? All of these kinds of questions I've tried to kind of educate myself about. And when I don't know the answer, I'm learning who to call for that, who to ask for that. And one of the great things that's happened on the group is that a lot of people who do have those answers have joined the group. A lot of social service agencies, people who work for government agencies, et cetera, have joined and can kind of give that information or connect people up or say, hey, you know, we have close contact ministries, give us a call or whatever it might be. I've started going to the meetings with the Heartland Continuum of Care, which works on homelessness issues, because we have a lot of members of the group who are people experiencing homelessness, and we have a lot of members of the group who want to help with homelessness issues. So I've tried to kind of educate myself about that and who's doing what in the community, because ultimately there are certain things that the group is very well suited for. It's kind of these one time, you know, I need some paper towels, I need some food, I need some toiletries. But there are a lot of issues in our community, whether it be homelessness, generational poverty, racial inequality, et cetera, that are huge problems in our community, and people want to talk about them. And I think people are learning about them on our group, but they can't be solved through a Facebook group alone. And so anything we can do to plug people in where they can actually help or get help in the long term is really great. So I have a lot of those conversations every day. I do deliver school meals every morning before work, and I'm a co-coordinator for the volunteers who do that with the district. So that's been a really fun challenge, but it's working out great. And hopefully we're able to really hone in on which families need those meals the most so we can get them to them. Every day is different though. It's a lot of fun.
And it just sounds like there's a lot of great resources that come out of this. Like you said, you're delivering school meals. There are people that can, you know, donate furniture. It just sounds like overall you've really gotten into the idea of what the community really needs. So I think that's really awesome. But, you know, they always said there's those bad apples. So I am wondering, how do you make sure that nobody is taking advantage of the group?
So, yeah, that's a good question. We get that question a lot. Again, I think this goes back to what I said about the limitations of a Facebook group. We're very, very upfront about what we can do and what we can't do. And we're a platform for people to ask for help and for people to offer help. And so, and we don't have any paid staff. Like I said, I have a full-time job. I'm a volunteer. We're all the admins. There are four of us. We're all volunteers. And so we don't have any capacity to screen people or vet people or verify what their situation is. And so we're very upfront that when something is posted on the group, it means that the post itself doesn't violate our rules. It doesn't mean that we are endorsing the request or that we've checked it out and it's legit. So, and because of that, we also have a few rules to try to keep people safe. So we ask that people not post their personal addresses or phone numbers on the group. We have a rule that you don't send somebody an unsolicited message, that you don't ask for money either on the group or in a message. And we want to just encourage people to be safe in the way that they help. And that's another reason that we really try to connect people up with established social services organizations in the community. So if they really want to get into, for example, helping somebody who is homeless right now find housing, that's probably something where it's better for them to get involved with one of the organizations that's doing that rather than trying to do that informally, because we can't ever say for sure, you know, this person is who they say they are or anything like that. But what I will say is that I think the vast majority of the needs and the requests that are posted on our group are really in good faith. They're local people, they're legitimate, because we see it in the people who help them coming back and saying, yeah, I helped this person out with some things and I was really glad that I met that family and we've really developed a relationship now. And we hear that a lot. And we also see a lot more positivity on the group than negativity. You do get some negativity, but I think it's really overwhelmed with the people who get what's going on and say, you know, there are needs out there. You can't ever know 100% sure when you help somebody what the result's going to be, because that's the risk that we take when we help, but we want to help anyway. And we want to help even if we don't get something in return. We want to help even if we don't get a thank you. We just want to help. And the vast majority, of course, of what we do, or the heart of what we do really on the group in turn, or what our members do, is provide those essentials still. There's sort of the free cycle aspect, but mostly, you know, it's the food, it's the diapers, it's the toiletries, it's the pet food. And And I think our perspective as admins, and I think the perspective of most of the people who participate, is that everybody deserves to eat. Everybody deserves to have diapers on their babies. Everybody deserves the basics to get through life. And so we have those safeguards in place, but we also really encourage people to figure out where it's comfortable for them to help. And if direct aid, mutual aid, is something that you feel comfortable with and you want to participate in, then we have a platform for that. But if you don't and you want to contribute money to an organization or you want to volunteer with an established organization, we're always happy to help you make that connection too.
And I think you said it perfectly. It's not about the glorification of doing something, but more so helping people. So I really applaud you all on that. Switching gears, I saw that you were nominated for the Illinois Times Best Of in the category of Unsung Heroes. So congratulations. I'm wondering, what was your first reaction when you saw this?
Well, I think one of my first reactions was, I love the Illinois Times, but that's a really strange category, because if you're an unsung hero, now your name's out there in a contest. But I was really surprised, very humbled to be in the company of the other nominees. I mean, for one thing, you have teachers, all of them. I think they're going to win. Our teachers are doing a fabulous job right now. The McParlins, the United We Pipe son and father duo, they actually came and gave a concert in my driveway. They're amazing. And of course, Erica Smith with Helping Hands. I've gotten to know her and worked with her a lot, even before this, in terms of advocacy for better options for the homeless in Springfield. And so she's, and Erica Austin is just a force of nature and amazing. So, you know, it's a great list there. I was really surprised, because honestly, you know, I think I just kind of try to keep things running smoothly on the Facebook group. I think some people have the impression that I'm like personally fulfilling a lot of these needs. I do what I can as a person, as an individual, but really it's the community coming together. And I think when people talk about heroes, I hear this a lot, you know, when people talk about heroes, they want to talk about individuals who are standing strong against the world and all of that, but that's not really how it's working right now with the pandemic. It's really a situation where we need literally all of us working together, everybody wearing a mask in public, everybody social distancing, everybody monitoring their own symptoms, and everybody pitching in however they can. I mean, I just think about the 14,000 plus people that we have on our group. And I think, you know, if every single one of those people who is able to gave some food or gave some clothing or gave something, even once a month, you know, I think we could make such a dent in poverty and inequality in Springfield. And so that's really my hope, is that people come to the group and they don't see it as, oh, look at all the stuff that Catherine's doing or Scott's doing, or that you know, any number of our members who are really super active are doing, but instead, what's the little bit that I can do? And so that it doesn't become overwhelming, because it can become really overwhelming if you start looking at it as, you know, how can I fight poverty, or how can I fight homelessness, and how can I solve this problem? But instead, if you think about it as, could I get a little extra at the grocery store in my Instacart order this time and put it in a micro pantry? Or could I give a little bit of money every month to an organization? Or could I just meet one need every month that's on this Facebook group? You know, I think, and I think we're doing it. I think that I hear there's a lot of need out there, but I hear all the time from people who say that they thought they were alone, they didn't have a lot of hope, and they were already living on the edge when this pandemic started, and then they lost their job, or their hours got cut, or they lost their housing situation, and they didn't think anybody would care. And they're coming on the group and they're seeing that a lot of people throughout this community do in fact care. And I think that's really the thing to celebrate about all of this.
Very well said. And there's always somebody that can relate to someone else's situation. So I
Yes.
guess that makes everybody in the group a hero then.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's one of the most important functions, I think, is when somebody says, you know, I've got a toothache and I don't have insurance. I don't know what dentist to go to. And there are people who can recommend a place for them to go, but there are also people who can say, oh man, I went through that last month. And just the idea of like, oh, somebody else has been through this. It's okay. Even some of those subjects that, you know, sometimes people think of as taboo, lice, bed bugs. We talk about them on the group. People come and say, I've got bed bugs. What do I do? And nobody says, ew, yuck, you have bed bugs. Instead, they say, you know, I tried this exterminator, or I tried diatomaceous earth, or whatever it is. People go on for hundreds of comments talking about bed bugs because lots of people have bed bugs. But it's kind of this idea of like, you don't have to be ashamed to ask for help. You don't have to be ashamed to say that you need help. And we can kind of share those experiences and talk about it.
Once again, I will commend the group on that. I think that's awesome.
That's what we try to do. We try to make it a safe place to give and a safe place to receive and just in a welcoming place. We really try to welcome everybody who comes and make it that space where people can put themselves out there and share what's going on and share what they need and be okay.
What can you say to encourage others to get more involved in the community, even right now during the pandemic?
Well, yeah, first I would say that there are so many safe ways to get involved. And again, if fulfilling these requests directly and doing porch drop-offs isn't your thing, call up any of the organizations all over town that are doing so much good work, and they will tell you how you can give and how they can put you to work. And you can do that safely without jeopardizing your health. There are even a lot of things you can do from home. But the second thing I would say is that Springfield really is a generous community. And that's my favorite thing to hear on the group is people saying, Springfield really is a great place to live. It's filled with a lot of kind, generous people. And that's my favorite thing to hear, because when I first moved to Springfield, I was told that Springfield was the kind of place that nobody really wants to be, that a lot of people are down on Springfield. A lot of people are negative. A lot of people, they want to live in Chicago, or they want to live in St. Louis. They want to talk about what a terrible place Springfield is. And I've heard a lot of that negativity over the years. I don't agree with it. I think it's a great place to raise kids. I love living here. But I think for people to, instead of just wallowing in that negativity, to actually look around and see what's going on and what people are doing to help and say, wow, this really is a great place. That's just a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's going to help us become a better community, because you can't become a better community unless you have people who care, who think that the community is worth investing in. And I really hope that that impression is building. So yes, get involved, whether it's in civic activism, politics, volunteer work, mutual aid, and instead of complaining about Springfield, just see what's here and see the good that we have already, and mostly the potential that we have to be so much better in the future.